Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2 on this very auspicious day. This is the first program of 2021. And aren't we glad that 2020 is in the rear view mirror?
Yay.
And despite all of it, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness. Hi, Bill. Hi, Cher. Introduce yourselves.
All righty. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and it is definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and it is very definitely, as I continue to say, a beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well this year, as well it was last year. And as you guys know, we are still the co-founders of an online Unity ministry, and we call it the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
Which you can get to very quickly by going to ucfyp.com.
And of course, I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar, where I'm zooming around the Zoomiverse, and also my Absolute Word, which is published almost every Monday, if not by Wednesday, which is my version of Unity's daily word for Sundays. And I get to do it because they've given me permission. And woohoo, shout out to Unity World Headquarters. So guys, this first session of the year. So this would be 2021-1.
That
is so exciting.
Yes.
So we are continuing with our deep dive into the premises. And we're going to go a little bit back for now to resume the overarching premises, because we got to a point where it just felt better to go to manifestation. And these things will relate to that anyway. So Cher, take it away.
All right. So we are going back to page 172 to pick up where we interrupted ourselves to jump to the manifestation. And these are really good ones to start off the new year. So this is good for people to be thinking about as we move into our 2021 experience. First premise here is each of us has sole dominion over our own consciousness or mind. We are each the king or queen of the kingdom of our minds. No one or no thing has power over our minds.
You know, and that last sentence would really sum it up, wouldn't it?
It really would.
No one or no thing has power over our minds, or no one or no thing has power over my mind. Isn't that amazing? And Viktor Frankl said this, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You remember Viktor Frankl?
Yes.
Man's Search for Meaning?
Yeah, great book.
He said this very succinctly. Yes, indeed. Okay, take it away, Cher.
So let's look at what Charles Fillmore had to say about this, because I was just ready to jump in and say, that sounds like the power of dominion or power to me. And lo and behold, the first quote comes from the 12 powers. And Charles Fillmore says, our dominion is over our own thoughts, emotions, and passions.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And that's my favorite power. I mean, I love zeal, of course, but the power of dominion to me is so important, because it reminds us that we can rise above anything that we're experiencing if we just remember we have all these inner tools we can use. And I want people to realize how much power they have.
And it's this one that gets back to that idea I've been talking about radical self-responsibility. That's what our teachings are about. And of course, I'm learning now, based on feedback I get from people, in order to do that, you have to have a normally functioning brain, right?
Well, there's a limit.
there's a limit. I mean, so someone who's incapacitated by drugs or by alcohol or younger people, whose brains aren't fully developed, especially young children, and then the aged as well. And so in those areas, they need other people to help them until they can help themselves, right? Mm-hmm. You can say no.
And I'd even want to add to this, now that I think about it, is our dominion is not only our own current thoughts and emotions and passions, but also over our subconscious patterns and habits and preferences. In the now moment, we have dominion over those too.
Yes, indeed. We definitely, definitely do.
Cool. So Charles goes on, and this is also from the 12 powers. He says, we can never exercise dominion, sovereignty, or control and mastery until we know who our personalities and what our divinity we are. I'm going to read this again because I don't think that came across real well. This is typical Charles writing that.
That's what Paul Hasselbeck did by adding in the parentheses.
Oh, you added those parentheses. Okay. Yeah. Well, I have to ask apologies to Charles. I was blaming him. Bill does those little parenthesis things all the time too.
Well, when it's annotated like that, it really does tell you, I mean, definitions are important too. And even though it sort of makes the sentence sometimes a little bit lengthy, it's worth having those annotations in it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you're right. It's powerful. And I'm going to say this for the listeners. It's very powerful reading it. But when you try to say it to somebody who's not looking at it, it can be confusing. Yeah. Yes. So first I'm going to do this two times and then we'll talk about it. I'm just going to make an arbitrary decision here. I'm going to read it without the annotations first, exactly the way it was written. And then I'll read it again with the parentheses in there so people can understand what they mean.
You know what? Throw in the definitions of who and what in between the two readings.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So first one is just the way the quote goes. We can never exercise dominion, sovereignty, or control and mastery until we know who and what we are. And knowing brings forth that knowledge into the external by exercising it in divine order, which is mind, idea, and manifestation. Still, even just Charles is a little long. It's an awkward sentence, but I think it makes sense as we break it down.
I love long sentences.
Yeah. So the who is our personalities and the what is our divinity.
Right.
So that makes perfect sense. The who is our personalities, the what is our divinity, and the divine order, which is mind, idea, and manifestation, is also known as mind, idea, expression.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So one more time, and then we'll break it down for folks. We can never exercise dominion, sovereignty, or control and mastery until we know who, that's our personalities, and what, that's our divinity, we are. And knowing brings forth that knowledge into the external by exercising it in divine order, which is mind, idea, manifestation, or also known as mind, idea, expression.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done. That is a really, really complicated one. And if you understand this, really can apply the one we said before. No one or no thing has power over our minds.
Absolutely.
Right? And so this is all about, we have to know who we are. And we could say, and clearly that's our personality. I would include our bodies.
It could also be our human nature.
Our human nature. I love that. Our human natures. And then our divinity is our divine nature. We could say it that way, right? And for me, that means principle. That I am fundamentally principle. And we can then exercise our dominion if we know our personality or our human nature uses our divinity to express and manifest.
Yeah. And I like what you've done to the what. You capitalize what because it's referring to our divinity.
Yes. Yes. That's me. And if I were doing this today, the whole word would be capitalized for emphasis and clarity.
Yep.
Yeah. Because really what we're saying here is, if you wonder why your dominion power doesn't always come out the way you want, the first thing to look at is, am I really aligning my human self with my divine self?
Yes.
We have that alignment in place because that could be where the issue is.
Yes.
And as I work with aligning that, then knowing what I know as I have that alignment from my intuitive wisdom and understanding, then I'm able to create that manifestation.
Really well said. And we have to remember that up until we're aware of our divinity, we're using our dominion based on sense consciousness, right, to use mind, idea, expression, and then we get uncertain results. We get
diddly squat order, we like to call it.
Yes. Will you say that a little louder?
No, we like to call it diddly squat order versus
diddly squat order. I love that. Yeah. So just another way of saying how important it is for us to remember our dominion, remember our divinity, and remember our humanity.
Yes. And it all comes together. Yes, and then we have to move our feet, of course.
You have to act.
Right.
You got to.
That's what got us over into the manifestation when we switched over last time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you remembered. Good. Good. Yep.
Okay. Another premise. Want me to go on to the second?
Yes,
premise?
Go ahead.
Anything that changes is based on spiritual or universal realities, principles, which are divine ideas, used according to spiritual or universal laws of mind, capital M mind, and little m mind.
That is another complicated sentence and another one that's very important. Lothar Schaefer said, according to physics, that everything physical is dependent on non-empirical things that are thought-like existing in something that is mind-like. And then we extrapolate that over to our changeable mind, that our mind is based on non-empirical forms that are thought-like existing in something that is mind-like. And then, of course, it's the laws that govern everything.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are interested, an update to that would be from David Bohm, who is a quantum physicist, and he would quite agree Fillmore was ahead of his time, because Bohm's talking about the implicate order and the explicate order, and the implicate order is the foundation of that leads to the explicate order or physicality. So quantum physics would agree with this as well.
So does the implicate order mean the implied order?
That's another word for saying that, because it's in the unmanifest, of course. Yeah. It's in the ethereal realm. And that's exactly right, Paul. That's how it goes. Sure.
Okay. And the other one is what, to remind the listeners?
It's the explicate order.
All right. Maybe we ought to do a little bit on that eventually. That's getting down the fundamentals. Really, really important. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wonderful. So you want to go on, Cher?
What comes next is a quote from Lothar Schaefer. Do you feel that expands what you were talking about? So I should go ahead and share that? Or does that?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
You introduce it by saying, whatever we see in the outer realm is based on something in the inner realm. This just kind of goes with what Bill just said, of consciousness, which in turn is underwritten by the unchanging absolute realm of principles, divine ideas, and laws. Dr. Lothar Schaefer, a distinguished professor of physical chemistry, said this, and I quote, "The visible world is shot through with invisible images that define future possibilities. The aspect that is so difficult to get used to is the power of the images. All things visible and phenomena need an underlying image, or they couldn't have appeared in the visible world. Since this rule applies to the processes of the physical world, as well as the processes of our mind, it reveals an unexpected congruence of the physical and the mental that is typical for the new physics." And that came from Infinite Potential, his book.
I love his language, shot through.
Because
I would say the invisible changeable realm is shot through with these quote unquote images.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting too is he could even say another word for images is frequencies.
Yeah, we have so many synonyms we can use to give people access points, don't we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he's on to it. He's right on.
Yep. And he does go back to basic premises we've already talked about, that everything that is manifest has something unmanifest behind it.
Yeah.
Had to come first. Like the idea had to come first and then the manifestation. And he kind of says that when he says there's an underlying image, it couldn't have appeared in the visible world if that wasn't there.
Yeah,
so that's of our thinking.
Yes. Yeah, so just for a little clarity, I think. So there's the capital I idea, and then there's the little I idea. And both of those are involved in the manifestation.
Right,
yes,
right.
You need,
yeah, they're both underlying it, yeah. For sure. Yeah. One is the big, and then the other is as you begin to limit or refine it, depending on which word you choose to use, then you're bringing it into the manifest.
Yes. So it's the divine idea that has infinite potential. Mm-hmm. And then we limit it or refine it to a more specific idea or a thought with its associated experience. Mm-hmm. That's a word I've been playing with just in the last 24 hours. What if the feeling, emotions, experiences, and attitudes, that's the other side of thought. Like we've been doing two sides of the same coin, saying the same thing. But what if we called it thought and experience? Because isn't a feeling an experience? Isn't an emotion an experience? Isn't an attitude an experience? Those are all experiences in some way.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'd even think in terms of perhaps even playing with not dividing it up. I'll put it that way because I'm going through my thought processes. The three that you named are experiences, absolutely. And I wonder if we could take the thought part of it as an experience.
Well, I've always liked that. However, the feeling is an experience too.
Depends on if people see what you're feeling, see your facial expression, or the feeling is vocalized.
Oh no, what I'm referring to there, Bill, is when I have a thought, it always comes with some level of experience. And when we have an experience, it always comes with some level of thought.
I get that. Yeah, sure.
And that's all an internal thing. I can see Cher has her thinking hat on.
Well, I'm just thinking of the feelings versus the experience, because to me, it's almost like the feeling is in response to the experience, depending on how you're defining the word, because you could experience a feeling. That's one thing. You're experiencing what you're feeling, or you have an experience which leads to feelings.
Okay. When you're doing it that way, and by the way, you moved your hands.
Which our listeners couldn't see.
I know. So if you're talking about experience as an outer thing, that's not what I'm referring to. Those I call events.
Okay.
So we have events happen in the outer physical realm. We have an inner experience, an experience of every event.
Okay, that makes sense. But that would require explaining what that means before somebody would get it, I think.
So that's why I start every class being really clear that the physical realm, there are events, and the inner realm, we have experience of events. And this is something that requires repeating and repeating and repeating. Because look, when you're riding the roller coaster, we're having an experience of that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the experience of it and the actual riding the roller coaster to me. So that's why I've separated them out into events and experiences.
And what's interesting too is when you remember a roller coaster experience, your body is actually experiencing that as well.
Yes, because that's the power.
Yeah.
That's the power of our minds and our imaginations. Our minds don't know if you're doing the real thing or not.
Yep.
That's why it's so important. Okay, so Cher, put a pin in that one. Wow.
I got it. It is there.
That was really, for me, it was really fun and rich. Okay, so we are now going to do our usual pivot at this time as we wrap up this first edition of Metaphysical Romp of 2021. And of course, the absolute word is based on the daily word. Sunday Messages, a copyrighted Unity publication, has been used with permission. And by necessity, this is actually the daily word for Sunday of the last Sunday of 2020. And it's such a good word. It's important we do it because it's release.
Wow, great.
Perfect.
Word.
Yeah.
So this is for December 27th, 2020, release. I create the best as I release the rest. I really like that one.
I love it.
I create the best as I release the rest. My experiences are opportunities to gain insight, perspective, growth, and stretch myself. I choose to use them for developing skills for work or pleasure. I am divine. I accept all that comes my way with gratitude. I bless it all because I can use anything for good and bless everyone. In the process, I release what no longer serves me with ease and grace. I give no power or importance to financial setbacks as I know my source lies in divine ideas and my related thoughts and feelings. I erase any memory of illness as I feel the joy of my well-being. I release any sense of loneliness as I bask in the memory and gratitude for all sorts of connection. I move forward feeling purified, lighter, and renewed. I create the best as I release the rest. And you know what, guys? Between what Bill said and what I read there, we created really a solution today for the people who are having trouble being solo alone these days because of the COVID. Because since the brain and your related mind then doesn't know the difference between a revivified memory of an experience or the real experience, we just need to bring up memories of those great Christmases, those great Thanksgivings, those great gatherings, and visualize ourselves there because our body will respond in exactly the same way as if it were happening.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love it.
And it really does work that way.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Make it a really good 2021. My saying for 2021 comes from A Course in Miracles. Make this year different by making it all the same. And thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. This is Reverend Dr. Cher saying, have a wonderful year. We're starting out with a woohoo.
Until we podcast again, this is Reverend Doc Bill.